We continue our learning L'ilui Nishmas, David ben Menachem, Mishnah Mecham Yaakov, and Pinchas Aliyah. We're in Gittin, Perek Tes, Mishnah Ches. Get, Sheksavo, Ivris, Ve'edav, Yevonis. Here's the get, it's written in Hebrew, but the Edim who signed in Greek, or Yevonis, Ve'edav, Ivris. Or the get was written in Greek, but the Edim signed in Hebrew. Or Edachod, Ivri, Ve'edachod, Yevoni. One signed in Hebrew, and one signed in Greek. Or, Kasava, Sofer, Ve'ed, or you have a case where the sofer wrote the get and he signed as an aid, meaning he is one of the aidim and another aid signed with him. In all of these cases, kasha, the get is kasha. Now, let's go back to the last case. Let's say kasava sofer the aid. What's a sofer is allowed to be a witness. So what's the chiddush here? It's come to teach that even though maybe we should be concerned that the husband didn't tell the sofer to sign. The husband really told two people, I want you to tell this sofer, the scribe, to write the get. And the two of you sign as aidim. The sofer was not asked to sign. And maybe these people decided to ask the sofer to be one of the witnesses to sign in order not to embarrass him. And maybe therefore the two people who the husband really asked her sign the get did not sign, and rather one allowed the sofer to sign instead of him. Maybe we should be concerned about that when we see that a sofer is one of the eidim who signed. The answer is we don't have to worry about that. We can assume that the sofer had been asked, and that's why there's one aid and the sofer's signature together are considered two. And as well, the Mishnah is teaching us that I'm allowed to have a get where it's written in one language and the aidim in a different language, or the same things, whether the get's written in Hebrew, the aidim sign in Greek, or the reverse. And even if the aidim are signing, they themselves are not signing in the same language, that's acceptable. Ish ploni aid kasher, says the Mishnah. Let's say Reuven. So Reuven signs Reuven, his first name, and aid. And he didn't add the name of his father. Nonetheless, the get is kasher. This we should pretty much know from the previous Mishnayos when we spoke about the two columns. So Reuven, the first name, you know his first name, that's acceptable. Reuven aid is acceptable. Ben Ish Ploni aid, so let's say someone just wrote Ben Yaakov aid, didn't write his first name, but he said, I'm the son of Yaakov. That's also kasher, and we know that from before as well. And the same thing, Mishnah continues, Ish Ploni, Ben Ish Ploni, v'lo kasav aid. Let's say he wrote his full name, Reuven Ben Yaakov, but didn't write the word aid afterwards. We know on a get, on a ksuva, he was supposed to write the word aid afterwards. Maybe it appears there. Says the Mishnah, that's also kosher. V'kachayu nikiei hadas b'Yushalayim osin. In fact, the pure-minded people of Yushalayim, they would do that. Meaning, they would not put on the word aid. They try to do things very concisely, and they would leave off the word aid. Just they would have the name and the father's name. Then the Mishnah says, kasav chanichaso v'chanichaso kosher. If you're just loosely translated, it means that if they wrote, let's say, his nickname or her nickname, that's also kosher. So this is a debate exactly what this is talking about. So one explanation goes like this. If the husband, when he wrote his name or his wife's name in the get, added a family name, a surname, and it was not the name of his father. So instead of writing Ben someone, he wrote Reuven, and he wrote this last name. So, and this could be one of people didn't necessarily have last names, but it could be that there was a distinguished person in the family from generations before, and everybody in that family would use that name. If he identifies himself like that, or his wife like that, with that particular name, with the first name and then that name, that would be acceptable. The Gemara itself has a machlokas. How long is it acceptable? Some say it's only within three generations of the life of that ancestor. Some say up to 10 generations. And others say that's not what we're talking about. This is not the name of an ancestor, of a distinguished person in the family, and they're using his name, and they add on his name to a Reuven, and then they add on another name afterwards, which happens to be the name of an ancestor. But rather, it's a surname that family would use to identify themselves. So that is acceptable, but it's only acceptable if it's been around, people have been using it either three generations or 10 generations. Beyond that, so then that's not an acceptable name. Another explanation is we're talking about nicknames. Chanicha, what we'd call the kinui, let's say. And it's not a family name. And didn't we learn, though, in the fourth parak, a person has to write his primary name on the get for it to be kosher? So here, this nickname is not exactly the same when we speak about a nickname. This is something that everyone knew. In fact, everyone knows this name. This is almost like a primary name that the person goes by, and therefore that's acceptable. Others say, no, this nickname is one that is used in the same place as his primary name. So not like used in another town, and that's why that would be acceptable based on that discussion we had where people have different names that are used in different places. So that's what Mishnah says. Kasav chani chasova chani chasa, that is going to be kasha, whatever the interpretation of that statement means. Then Mishnah says, get ma'usa. Here you have a get that was the husband was coerced to give. Famous comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, where we assume that even though a get has to be given midas, husband can't be coerced. We assume that if he's coerced to give a get, we assume that that is, it's just the Yetzirah that's keeping him from giving a get and doing the right thing, and is in his true desire is to do the right thing, and therefore even though he's coerced, we assume that the get was given in Beratzon, it's considered like as if he said, Rotze Ani. So again, Me'usa B'Yisrael, kosher, which means if a Jewish court compelled the person to give the get, so that's assuming that halacha demanded a get in such a situation, so that is considered kosher, and we consider it as if he gave it with his consent. But uvagoyim, if it's non-Jewish people are forcing him to give a get, so that is going to be possible. But uvagoyim choftin osover omim lo asei mashi Yisrael omim lach, the kosher. But you can have non-Jews who are doing the forcing, which means a Jewish court orders is the one who say it makes the get me'usa and tells the husband he has to give the get, but they hire non-Jews to beat him up until he gives the get, so that is acceptable, that is going to be kosher. You'll say, hold on, I thought a non-Jew can act as the shaliach. Here he's not really a shaliach, he's not a shaliach of the court, he's the shaliach, he's not legally a shaliach at all here. He's just the court gives him, assigns him to this task to try to force the husband to give the get, but everything legally is really done by the court, so this is not a din in shlichus, and therefore it's acceptable. Perek test, Mishnah test, yatza shma ba'ir mikudeshes, harezo mikudeshes. You have a case, a single girl, and now there's a rumor going around that she became mikudeshes to this particular man. So then we have to assume she's mikudeshes misafek and cannot marry someone else without a get. And the Gemara says this is not just a rumor we can ignore. But if people are speaking about this information that they have, they see that the candles lit and the beds are set up and the women are celebrating and dancing with our meaning, it's very clear that she became mikudeshes. There's a celebration going on. Let's say balloons outside. A celebration. People are engaged or something that. In this case, it's mikudeshes. So that is the Gemara in Daf Peites says, and people are saying to each other, Plonis niskacha hayom leploni. So then we could assume that mikudeshes, that's the kol, that's the yatza shma ba'ir, where we consider her mikudeshes. And then the Mishnah says, migoreshes, hareza migoreshes, which means the Gemara says, this is not another case, this is this case. This woman about whom we say that she became mikudeshes to a particular man, now we have people are talking shat that she, in fact she became mikudeshes from him, hareza migoreshes. She is mikudeshes and mutter to marry anyone else. So the first case, she's a suffix mikudeshes, but now we can assume she's megoreshes. This is what we call kol v'shovaro imo. It's the voice, it's the rumor with the receipt along with it. Since she only became prohibited because of the kol itself, so now we have another kol that comes to break that, to have another kol that comes to undo that, and therefore she is permitted. Uvavad shalo yehei sham amasla. As long as there's no amasa. Amasa usually means a justification, an excuse. Here a qualification, which means, let's say with the rumor of the Kiddushin or the Gerushin, there's a reason to say that maybe it's not true. Something that that breaks the koach of that kol. And the Mishnah wants to know, Ezui amasa, what would be this qualification that would break this kol, this rumor? So the Mishnah says, Geresh ish ploni es ishto al tanai. Let's say in the case of the Gerushin. So you know she's suffering mikudeshes because they're talking, the women are talking, they're wishing a mazel tov. So that we get. But now, Oh, there's a kol that she became a grusha. But there's a qualification in a masla, which is girish ish ploni is ishto al tanai. We heard that she was migureshes, but there was a tanai, there was a condition that was attached to the tanai, and maybe the tanai wasn't fulfilled. Or regarding the kiddushin, zarakla kiddusha, safek karavla, he threw her the kiddushin money, threw her the ring, and in fact, as long as it's close to Torah, it's okay, within her rishus, within her domain, like we said when it comes to a get, but here, he threw her the ring, and they have a safek, whether it's closer to her or closer to him. So then this is even the kol doesn't necessarily make her mikudeshes. Then zohi amasla, that amasla, that justification, that qualification is mevato the kol, and she retains her original status the way she was before the kol, whether she was unmarried or if she had this suffix mikudeshes, she's still suffix mikudeshes and cannot assume that she is divorced.